on a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. You never know what topic is going to spawn or how it, where the conversation will go. This concept we were talking about on this perfect home, maintenance-free home. I said no drywall, no wood. I should probably clarify just a little bit of that. Definitely the no structural wood. The cabinets are still going to be wood. The interior doors are still probably going to be wood. I love the look of a stained, finished wood. And there'll be lots of decorative wood. One of the neatest homes I've ever been in had a wood ceiling that they had tongue and groove faux finish on the ceiling that just added an incredible sitting environment in the den that was just gorgeous. And you sit there and you just stare at the ceiling for hours. And because it will be maintenance-free and it's going to be heavily concrete and cement products. And another one, have you ever heard of the rammed earth? You can look online and just type in rammed earth. You can type in earth roof homes and see some of the concepts that we're putting into this maintenance-free home. But a rammed earth, these walls are forms that, you know, they may be 18 inches wide, and they take the dirt that's on site, or they import dirt, and they add concrete bonding agents, cement, and they've got a little pneumatic tool that just beats it all. It's like a handheld sheep's foot, and these forms just get built on site and in place. So there's a lot of different aesthetic things you can do. It's not just concrete. It's not just block. There's a lot of different ways to incorporate dirt-based products that will last years and years. I mean, when you go look at any type of ruins from ancient civilization, it's all rock, dirt, that building techniques and science that are left. You never see anything left. You know, how long is a wood barn going to stand out there? I'm not saying it's not cool looking at a 100-year-old barn wood that you find out in the White Mountains, but you're not living in it. You're not going to go in there. It's not structurally sound. You know, the next winds could probably knock it over. What's left? The pyramids, the adobe buildings in Casa Grande. Masonry products are what stand the test of time. And if you look at this, something interesting that happened, and we were talking about, and a listener called in that was pointing out, what did Greg Peterson do last hour? If you were listening, we had Farmer Greg in, and he bought a thermal heat gun, and he was measuring the temperature of soil in his yard that had no shade, straight sun exposure, and the soil was 140 degrees. Now, he goes and he takes that and he puts it on something that's in the shade. He's under 100 degrees. He was close to 92. And then underneath his sweet potato vines, it was in the 80s. Well, so you take this concept of a masonry home, thick walls, and then you add the concept of an earth roof home, and you put your gardens on that. Well, now you've got this wall and ceiling mass of up to 18 inches thick that you now put your garden, and it doesn't have to be sweet potato vines. I mean, it could be any type of ground cover or vines and a different variety. Some of the examples that they have when you do an earth roof home, you know, some of them are lawns, some of them are built into the mountains, some of them have row gardening on top. Well, so now you've got this thick earth mass of 18 inches, and you've got this ground cover on top, you're trying to cool a space inside your living environment that's already naturally going to be thermally insulated much lower than the 140-degree temperatures that the outside surfaces heat up to that you're standing in a 115-plus-degree weather. It's a level of efficiency that is provided for. So there's no amount of cellulose, foam, blown in, ductwork, energy efficiency, all these things that we spent all this time and research developing and enhancing, trying to maintain a comfortable work environment that was already just in the soil by itself.
I would suggest not using artificial turf on the road. That's kind of the complete opposite of it. But, you know, a lot of what you're talking about is being done in San Francisco. I have seen apartment buildings downtown that have used, and even some lower apartments that have used a grass roof to cool off. Seems to be efficient.
It's an interesting concept, it really intrigues me. I spend a lot of time thinking through it, and it always, when we talk about this on air, and I'm sorry, I will get off of it. I get sidetracked going down this bunny trail.
Bunny trails.
The amount of information and feedback that it spawned from the listener that, hey, you know, we heard you talking about this, and the ideas that we get from the listening audience that go into it are a very fun factor of it, because it's the amount of design, the amount of possibilities that are in this concept are almost endless. And I keep getting high center. I know it's not efficient, the geothermal cooling where you're running water down because of our soils and blah, blah, blah. But, man, to cool a home in the desert just by circulating water through the tunnels that's been built into your home with a solar panel and a water pump. I mean, think about what that would change in the way of electric consumption and dependence on that just simply by changing the building structure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's cost effective to slap together a stick and stucco home. That's why we do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this type of concept at home is, one, you're never going to get a mortgage on it. I know you think, what? There's no mortgage company that will write a mortgage contract on a home in Arizona that doesn't have central heating and cooling. So you're designing this concept to not need it, but then you can't get it funded. So you would either, A, have to build in an air conditioning system just for the sake of being able to get a loan, which only adds to the cost, and the concept of this is getting away from the dependence on that. Kind of very counterintuitive.
I wonder what the resale value of that would be if you were to sell it.
It would take the right buyer.
Yeah. It's not one of, you know, a typical buyer, hey, I need a house, and okay, this will do. No, this is one that would, you know, you would probably have a consumer base that would be relatively small that would know what they're getting into.
Originally, at the beginning, but I think as the concept grew and you would see the value and the long-term cost savings that you would have and the reduction in your monthly bills that you wouldn't have, it, you know, it could gradually phase over time.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least the concept of thicker walls, you know, trying to put a 2x4 with an inch of foam, an inch of stucco, a half inch of drywall, and expect to be able to maintain any kind of comfort and 115 degrees, that concept would gradually start. And then I even saw a billboard one time. It was the most, I can't remember who it was for, but they were bragging that they were built with 2x6. Now,
2x6, okay.
Studs instead of 2x4 studs.
Okay.
They were bragging that, well, we built our homes with 2x6 studs. I'm like,
two extra inches make a difference?
Well, okay. A 2x4 is not really a 2x4. It's 1.5 by 3.5. A 2x6 is the same thing. Take a half inch off of all of those.
All right.
The concept of trying to, we're creating. Klim said it best of quality block. He said 50 years ago, and he said this 20 years ago. So updating it real time. 70 years ago, we were building homes with masonry and fences out of block. Now we're building our homes, out of wood. We're building our homes out of masonry and the fences out of wood. Now we're building homes out of wood and blocks out of fences. The only thing we're leaving for the next generation is some really nice fences. You look at a remodel of a wood home that's 40 years old, they're taking it back down to the concrete slab. That's a significant expense because it's not worth trying to do an add-on on something that's...
And with a block and, home now...
And they're going back with wood again.
Yeah.
Do you not see how counterproductive you're being?
And with a block home with the technology and foam and insulation, you know, because block does retain heat. And I have a block house, let's put it that way. And it does get pretty toasty to the touch. I wouldn't say like you could fry an egg on it. But I have a neighbor who put foam into his block in the house too. And he said it was a night and day difference. When the AC can shut off at 4 in the afternoon for about 20 minutes because the house is just right, you're going to see some money saved.
You know, we were talking about big goals. Greg, Farmer Greg, had a goal of making Arizona a self-sustaining food city by growing its own. You know, if I could be king for a day, I don't like to mandate things. I don't like to tell other people what to do. Man, I would change the building codes. If you're going to build a new structure in Arizona or you're going into a remodel, you're using masonry products to invest in the future of the next person, the next generation, the next family that's going to inherit this home, not the next one, but the next five. And when we're talking about building and waste and being able to use a material that's going to last hundreds of years instead of a couple decades, you know, you're cutting your waste and consumption down significantly. I would go to all and I shouldn't say just masonry. You got masonry, you got concrete, you have rammed earth. There's a lot of different soil-based building materials that could solve so many different problems. And the amount of work and effort that people go into to become ENERGY STAR certified on a stick and stucco home, when all of that just gets solved by using your block as a foundation, which is a topic next hour. Bob Brown of Arizona Foundation Solutions will be joining us. He's got a special guest and an engineer talking about the foundation. Our home's only as good as the foundation. And this whole time I've been talking about walls and roof materials for the exterior of our home, but it's still only as good as the foundation it goes on to. And because Arizona's of extremely unique soils, we've got underground water, we've got the rainwater on top, we've got irrigation. The lack of water causes a lot of water problems in Arizona, believe it or not, because when of the extremes of when we have it and when we don't have it, what that does to the soils and the heaving and expansion. So all those things will be covered here at Rosie on the House in the next hour with Arizona Foundation Solutions. If you've got a question or want to know about your foundation or suspicious your home may be shifting or settling or heaving, you can notice that by cracks at the corners of your windows, cracks in your drywall. If you've got grout lines in your floor that are cracked, if it's following the grout lines, it may just be the cracking grout line. But if you've got a crack through the tile itself, telltale sign there may be a foundation problem. You can talk to Bob Brown by jumping on the line now at 1-888-767-4348.